Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
I forgot to turn off my sound bar because I have a sound bar for the computer audio, and sometimes when I plug in the headset, the sound bar and the headset have stern words with one another.
This sounds like the epitome of first world problems.
I mean, it's not really a problem. It's just explaining the situation.
Hey everybody, welcome to Game Classy Podcast. I'm your host Joe, and with me is we changed the name, weren't we? Were we changing it to like Mark's Cast or something like that? Mark's Classy. Something like that.
We're talking to the Swoletariat.
The Swoletariat. No, it was Mark's Hammer was what we were gonna call it.
Mark's Hammer.
Yeah. Right. However, I do think the internet has already stolen Sig Marxism, so I think
that's pretty good.
It's good. It's got a pun in there. Like, you need a pun.
It does. You do. You're not wrong.
Yeah. No. I don't want to say that we're the left leaning side of the podcast community, but I think we kind of are. We're like it.
there's definitely got to be some way more. Left gaming podcasts.
We're probably the funniest of all of them, even though that's a mighty boast on our part. But
I mean, you know what? Just say it. Who cares?
Yeah, I will say it, because you know why? I've listened to most gaming podcasts, and if I have ever cracked a chuckle, sir, at a gaming podcast, I would be surprised.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever listened to like an about gaming podcast.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, ones where like people like role play or doing something like a live gaming or a stream of the game. Every once in a while, I find someone, one of those that is funny. But
yeah, I mean, those I've heard, but those aren't. But I wouldn't consider those like a general gaming podcast.
General gaming.
Well, those are specific. Those are like, we are playing a game of D&D or something. So
yeah, and their whole goal is to try and make each other laugh. So.
Right, they're dicking around on a Discord call.
they're dicking around on GM time. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, so like it's, you know, that's fine. I've laughed at some of those, but any of the other like gaming. Usually, I found the like specific gaming, like talking about tabletop podcasts, usually take themselves very seriously.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. They don't understand that information can also be humorous.
It's true.
Or the lack of information can also be humorous.
Yes, you can make jokes. It is possible.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's, we don't really make jokes so much as we just wallow in our ignorance of the current gaming community.
Hey, I mean, that's a joke.
It is actually gaming in and of itself is a joke, let's be fair.
Yeah, it's true.
it's just
supposed to be something you have a good time with that people take really, really seriously, way too seriously. It's like most everything else.
Yeah. I think we'll change our name to Game Collective podcast.
The Game Collective
podcast, and we are the Swoletariats.
We have to come up with a Borg-esque speech then for the Game Collective. You will join the Game Collective.
Well, I was just thinking about like a communist collective or some sort of socialist collective or a farm collective, even if you're in the Midwest. But you could go with Borg Collective. That's fine.
Yeah, I just can't. I can't do farm, man. I don't like corn.
Holy shit, dude. I was actually at a used bookstore the other day, and I came across a Star Trek game that I had never seen before, and I really should have bought it, but I was kind of like, I didn't even plan on being there, and I had to run. But it was these like huge Star Wars ship cards, like they had to be like a 4x6 card.
Wait, did you say Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Huh.
Yeah, and they were all like specific decks that were built around specific ships, and I can't remember the name of it right now. But I was like, I need to buy these. But then I was like, I got to run because I got to get my sandwich.
Was it a game or was it a playing cards thing?
No, it was a game. They with huge cards. It was like 4x6 cards.
Huh. All right.
Yeah. I'll probably run there sometime this week and see if they still have it, which they probably will because no one's going to be buying that. And, they were cheap too. It's like they were like 4 boosters in like the main game. And I think the main game was like $3 and the boosters were each like $1 each.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, is anything that I can do to play a Klingon will be appreciated. The Hulk. So that's aside from all the turmoil that's going on in the United States right now, we have entered into month 7
not just
of
the United States, the world.
Yeah, but the United States is where it's United States and Hong Kong, but they're having different issues altogether. United States, most in Europe, you've seen most of these protests be pretty peaceful.
You've been ignoring France, my friend. They immediately rioted.
Well, that's France. I mean, I'm surprised that they've gone like 3 months without a riot because they are France. And you know what? I'm all for it. Let the French riot.
Yeah, they don't fuck around.
We always get a brand spanking new musical every time France riots. So
it's true.
An award-winning musical.
Finally.
But the United States has been a little crazy. I've been staying safe and doing most of my I don't want to say protesting, but most of my praxis on the computer. How about that?
We're all Les Miserables today.
We are all Les Miserables. At the end of the day, you're another day older. And the shirt off your back doesn't keep out the chill. And the right... Come on, Steve, sing along.
I don't know that one.
You don't know that one? What Les Mis songs do you know?
I know... I really kind of only know the people sing, and then...
Do you hear the people sing, singing a song of angry men?
Yes,
it is
that one.
The music of a people. Yeah?
Yes.
What other one do you know? Do you know?
On high... What's I know it, but I can't repeat it. The one that Jean Valjean is singing when he's like pulling the rope in the water. Fuck. I can't remember. It's like the first fucking song.
Yeah. I believe. Yeah. That's Look Down. That's what it starts off with. So that's probably the one you're thinking of. What do you say?
When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drum. There's a life about to start
tomorrow comes. Will you join in our crusade? Who will? Sorry, guys. This
will
is
you be all. Strong and stand with me beyond the barricade? Is there a world you long to see?
My favorite part of that is that people have no idea. Even people who have seen that musical, like my wife has, and she goes, she's like, I don't know the musicals. All I know about the French Revolution is from Les Mis, and I go. Diana, Les Mis has nothing to do with the French Revolution.
Yeah,
it's just some riots in the street in the late 1800s.
It's just a specific little group of rioting, and there's this specific like sub story of Jean Valjean versus that one cop, and that cop's like, ah, fuck, I'm a dickhead. At the very end,
he doesn't think he's a dickhead. At the end, he can't reconcile his own views on the law, where he is not chaotic. Lawful evil is basically what he is. No. He's lawful good is what he is. He has to follow the letter of the law, right? So no matter what, like even if he sees Jean Valjean has brought up his life and he's doing good, he still has to arrest him because, you know, at one point he broke the law. And that would
turn him to lawful evil.
Well, I mean, is that lawful evil? Or is that lawful good?
Yes. Okay. That's the difference between law, chaos, and then good, evil. So like lawful good means you are 100% for the law, but you're also good. And then, D&D alignments, obviously alignments are kind of silly because
they bump
people into a thing like that. But in general, the morality part trumps the alignment part. If someone is lawful good, the good will trump the law. If someone is lawful evil, the evil will trump the law. So like if I'm a lawful evil character, I will enforce the law to the letter and I do not care. Like, yeah. if the law is not ethical, I have no qualms about enforcing it.
Okay, good. See, okay, so that, yeah, that's what Javert is until the very end when he has to question what he's been doing, when he, like, emotionally questions it, and then he's like, I can't handle it, and he jumps off the bridge.
Right, which, so that's him transitioning from lawful evil to lawful good.
Yeah.
Or possibly, more likely, he was lawful neutral. Like, that's the biggest thing, like, with alignments is, like, most, like, nearly every human being that has ever lived, not all, but nearly, is some variation of neutral.
Okay, for the next cast, I want you to learn, the Javert part of the, of when Javert and Jean Valjean actually get into it, and he's like, I am warning you, Javert, I'm a stronger man by far. You had to do the other part at the same time, and we'll do that for the cast.
Do you know the title of the song? With the specific song? Well, just send it to me later.
I think it's called Confrontation is the name of the song.
Okay.
I know there's one guy who's like sitting there who's like who's a bigger musical fan than I am, who's going like, it's called Confrontation, you dicks.
It is called The Confrontation.
Confrontation. Okay, good.
It appears. Yes.
Oh shit.
Nice. Yes.
Oh, wait. I got a funny story. I just dropped my camera for the God fucking damn it.
Nice.
For those who are listening, I dropped my camera, and I was actually in a Zoom call, like a really important business call, and like someone randomly got on who was naked.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was hold on.
seeing some of the like quote unquote epic Zoom moments has been pretty good.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing was that like you couldn't really tell that he was naked. He just looked kind of like an old man, but the lights were kind of weird, so you couldn't see if it was like his shirt or his skin, right? And I was like watching, and all of a sudden like his camera falls really quick, and I look at and I text the woman, another woman who's at the meeting. I'm like, is that guy naked? And then he was like bounced from the call, and I was laughing my ass off about it.
That's terrific.
But I, you know, it was like I held my tongue because like there were really higher ups in that meeting that I didn't want to upset.
Right.
What were you saying though?
The song is most certainly The Confrontation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got to learn that song.
That's what it's called. That starts with Valjean. At last, we see to the plane, Monsieur Lemaire. You hear a different
chain.
Yeah. So I will.
Before you say another word, Javert. I'm sorry, guys. I'm in a musical mood today.
You're all in on Les Miserables.
Not really. It used to be one of my favorite shows, but I've kind of grown past it in recent years.
Yeah.
Damn it.
How is your webcam so unstable? Do you not have a
Because it's just thing? Like a clip that clips on the top of my computer, but I have a weird screen.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. I'm just going to do that.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. You could look at my 3D built Titans.
I mean, I'm not looking at the call anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
I'm too busy playing video games.
If I could, I guess I would.
That was kind of like a really long way of getting around what I was going to say, which is we also have some turmoil going on in the Warhammer world right now.
Is it related to the turmoil in the real world, or is it just a different thing?
I think that they're interrelated. I mean, like, the real world would look at what's going on in the Warhammer world and be like, what?
All right, I'm ready. You fire away. Listen, I have zero news on gaming whatsoever.
Okay.
I followed nothing. So,
for a couple months now, maybe even a little bit longer, there have been a couple... As we always say, there's always the right wing, like the crazy neo-Nazi / shit lord, right? Mm-hmm. Wing of the gaming community. There's always been that, but there's been two guys who've really made like a huge, like angry. They've just banged pots and pans and made themselves known. Gamza, I think I don't know how he pronounces it. I refuse to even go to his page to listen to anything because of like the horrendous things I've heard. Uh-huh. And the other guy is Arch.
Never heard of either of those people.
Okay, Arch is a lore guy. He does like a lot of the game classy game classy a lot of the games, games workshop lore videos on YouTube. Got and the other guy is just an awful shitlord. So these two guys have been making a lot of noise, and then so Games Workshop put out a kind of a press release.
Oh, their press release where they were like, hey, don't be racist.
Yeah. So Games Workshop like puts out like this press release that's it's fine. I mean, it's not like the best worded thing in the world, but you know what? They're a British company that's kind of commenting on what's going on in America currently. And it's like, you guys did your best.
And right? Britain. John Boyega was in Britain.
Yeah. Oh, that was pretty fucking cool.
So but, it was very much a like, I wouldn't say like 100% milk toast, but it was a very like mild, like, hey, if you're a bigot, we don't support you and don't play our games. Like it was like, it was basically like in, so it was in many more words than that. That's all it said. It was like, we don't support bigotry. If you're a bigot, you cannot play our games and we won't miss you is what it said.
You know, it's like the meme where the guys where Paul Rudd is like, you know what? I don't like racism, and I'm big enough to admit that.
Yes, yes, it's exactly that.
So,
but the thing is, the wild thing about that is like we joke and we say that like Paul Rudd going like I'm not big about racism, and I'm big enough to admit that. Like we joke because that's such like a mild like everyone should agree with that statement. But somehow, that's not the truth. If you make a statement that is that mild, you will have people coming out of the woodwork to shit on you about it.
Oh, and that's what happened, sir.
Exactly.
A lot of it was... excuse me real quick. Oh, man, I had something go down the wrong pipe.
Unfortunate. I was just drinking some coffee myself.
Yeah, well, you just woke up. I've already been up for 7 hours.
hey, I've been up for like 45 minutes.
It's true. So... a shit ton of people commented on it on Instagram, on Facebook, Twitter, all of like the three major ones, right? Mm. The most of them, like I tried to look at it because I wanted some of the juicy ones, but it looked like a lot of the juicy ones were taken out, like a deleted immediately type thing. Like they whoever's running the GW social media account was like, all right, guys, we know this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Let's all be on this today and just delete the shitheads, right?
Yeah.
Most of them were like, I can't believe Games Workshop's actually commenting on this, like kind of stuff. Like, I don't think this is absolutely necessary for you to post, you know, that sort of stuff. It was like a very, very mild condescension.
Yeah. I mean, for that, like if you don't think it's necessary, that doesn't matter because the company thinks it's necessary. So they did. There's plenty of companies that have said there's plenty of companies that have said nothing. They're just like, they're just flat out saying nothing. So like, they don't feel it's important for them to comment, so they're not.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's the same thing where it's like, good job, Games Workshop. You did the bare minimum, right? Like, Games Workshop loves everyone except the poor. That's the other end of that spectrum. So Games Workshop put out that, and, you know, a lot of these guys just exploded. Like the level of I think that they... the only way I can describe it is that they knew that people were expecting them to put something out. Mm. So they're like, well, this is my moment in the sun. I'm going to go all out. And they're just
ready to get their outrage engagement.
Pretty much. And that's, you know, that's what they did. However, one of them, I don't remember exactly who it is. I'm going to try and look this up really quick. I don't want to say it was Gamza if it was Arch or Arch if it was Gamza. Mm. Gamza. I don't know how he pronounces it, and I don't care. They have a Discord server, right? And some people got on the Discord server and started making screenshots of the things that this guy was saying.
Oh yeah, you'll get your Discord server shut the fuck down if you do that.
Hold on, I'm still kind of looking for maybe this is it.
If you want to stew your white supremacist groups, you have to stick to Reddit. You can't use Discord. They kick you out of Discord.
Okay, so this is Arch, right? He went through and he mostly talked about was how Pedophilia is wrong. However, if it's drawn or lolly, and it was like, oh my god,
what does that have to do with? Was that just a name and shame?
I don't know.
Okay, what I was saying is like I was trying to figure out what that has to do with this statement. But
it has nothing to do with it. But I think
okay. So that was just a name and shame. They went into the Discord and they were like, look what this fucker says.
Well, no, it's Arch and Gamza. Yeah. So that's basically what it was. So Arch made enough enemies that someone popped in there to take a couple. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the that's been going around on. On Twitter, which has been pretty good. Like when I think it was Coca-Cola, I don't know, one of them was like, they posted they're like, you know, blah, 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 we are against racism, et cetera. And of course, the people are just like, quote retweeting, and they're like, this you? And then it's just like, Coca-Cola funds Colombian Death Squad, et cetera.
Yeah,
people doing that. So basically, that was them doing this to this guy.
Yeah, so they got this guy, and just some of the stuff.
Finding the receipts, that's what it was,
Oh, yeah, that's definitely what this is. But okay. He said some really, really dumb things, and he had to shut down his Discord for a little bit and change the invite. But it's further examples of just like, holy shit, what is this coming down to?
I mean, it's just it, people are just fucked up, man.
Yeah, I mean, people are pretty fucked up, and we should be happy at this point where COVID no longer exists, according to everyone. So we could just wander outside.
Oh, it's great. Well, yeah. This is the thing. We got the outbreaks that are happening now, which is after the 2-week incubation from everyone just going out willy nilly on Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have the wave that is going to be 2 weeks after the "you better open up Applebee's or we'll shoot you" protesters.
Yeah.
That'll be happening after 2 weeks. And then after the 2 weeks incubation from this, we'll be having the Black Lives Matter protester outbreak. But all of the outbreaks will 100% be blamed on the Black Lives Matter protest.
Oh,
guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, yeah. So we could finally go out and, I don't know, spend money that we don't have.
Yeah, well, I mean that's the situation we're in anyway is all of these protests causing new outbreaks don't particularly matter because with the way our government has been handling the situation, like it was going to happen no matter what. Like there's no way. Like we were already at number one of the death toll by like a fucking ridiculous number. Like they're talking about like closing the border between us and Brazil because Brazil had a huge uptick in cases and Brazil is at 40,000 dead. We're over 100,000 dead. It's like Brazil should be talking about closing their border with us. So with that being the case, it's just like, I mean, if you're gonna make your voice heard and catch COVID and die, you might as well make it over not yelling about Applebee's being closed.
Yeah,
that would be my.
I don't know though. Have you ever talked with Pat about Applebee's? He loves Applebee's.
God damn it! Why? That makes so much sense.
I don't actually know if he does, but it doesn't seem like the type of thing that Pat would be like. You know what, guys? Well, you talk bad about it, but their never-ending apps are amazing.
Yes, yes. I was about to say he'd have like the middle class comment about it, be like, "It rained. You know what? We really needed that."
Yeah. And Pat is
the human incarnation of middle class memes, which I enjoy.
Yes, I was actually just talking with him. And for those who are unaware, we're talking about Pat from Play On Podcast.
Pat B.
Pat B. from Play On Podcast. Sorry, I didn't add the B on there. So
yeah, add the B. Pat B.
Yeah. And for those who don't know, there actually is a Pat A. We just normally talk about the Pat B. Mm-hmm. But I was over at Pat's house, and he's just – one of my favorite things about Pat is that for some odd reason, anytime that he expresses an opinion, people jump down his throat. Like, and it's totally unintentional, I think, most of the time. Like, we're all like – you know, we like Pat, we respect Fat Pat, but like he'll say something, it just gets this visceral response out of people.
it's because he has a habit of just like kind of what is it? How do I explain it? So like, you know how when people have like a hot take, as it were,
yes,
and like it's quite obviously like a villainous hot take, and everyone attacks them for it. because it's like, it's just clearly like villainous. Pat has an ability to reach that level of anger about a hot take that is not villainous.
It's true.
That's like he reaches the level of like people like get actually mad at him.
He
says something, but what he says is just like, it's usually just like he doesn't like something that is like universally loved is usually the thing. It's like Spider-Man. Like people like Spider-Man, I would say, out of all the comic book characters,
yeah,
probably the most loved comic book character in general is Spider-Man.
Yes.
So like Pat would like write like a scathing like smackdown about Spider-Man and be just lambasted for
it. Well, yeah. I mean, that's a lot of like, okay, so like the perfect example is that Pat hates the game Earthbound.
Yes. Right? Yes.
And you know, it's not like a game I love, but it's a decent game. You know, it's fine. I have no problems with it. Some people really, really like it though, mm-hmm. right? And I could see why they like it. It kind of had that the same appeal that like Animal Crossing kind of does now. Like it's bright,
it's colorful, it has great music, it's funny, you know, like it, and plus yeah. it was like for its time, completely unique. Like there was no game that was like that when it came out. Like you're playing as a random kid in like middle America fighting aliens, like that's totally out there. And then like especially for a JRPG, like all JRPGs at that point were like Dragon Quest. It was just like, you know, dude with a sword and wizards.
Well, I think it's also kind of like the game had a very wholesome quality to it, which I think a lot of people really turned on to. And that's you get now with a lot of games is a lot of wholesome content. People fall in love with those. So, but Pat hates that game.
Yes. Well, I think the thing about Pat too is the reason I feel a lot of his hot takes go in this direction is because he gets, because the reasoning he has for disliking Earthbound for pretty much for like, I would say like, 95% of it have nothing to do with the actual video game Earthbound.
Yes, it's about the fandom.
Yeah, it's about like the fandom, and it all comes from his time on Reddit on R Game Collecting. And I've been trying my best to get him off of R Game Collecting because I'm telling him it's not healthy for him.
It's not. It's very much not.
It's but not. Pat,
okay.
It's not.
So that's a prime example of Pat just not liking something that is universally loved, right?
Yes.
Or universally liked at least. But he also. Like stuff like we'll be sitting there and he'd be like, I brought some beer over, and you see that he brought over like a six pack of Schlitz, right? And you're just like, Pat, no one drinks Schlitz. He's like, I like Schlitz, and then everyone's got to like, and it's like, I have no disdain for Schlitz, but it's like I feel at that point that I need to yell at him about bringing Schlitz.
I like it.
Yeah, it's like I love it. He does that too, like. And so the classic example he always gives was that he was at a friend of ours wedding, right? And I was at this table too. And I yelled at him. I think it was probably about his beer choice at the wedding. Because it's like, who goes to a wedding and gets a Schlitz? Like, he could get, you know, good liquor. And he's like, I'm just going to have a Schlitz. I'm like, oh, God. So you get angry at it. And then the another girl at the table is like, wow, Joe ripped India on that one. He's like, you know, it just happens. He explains the whole situation. And then later on during dinner, she saw that he hadn't eaten his asparagus. And she's like, well, you're not going to eat your asparagus? And he goes, no, I'm not a big fan of asparagus. And she like rips into him. And there was no reason why that happened. So
that's funny.
Yeah. So that's Pat. I don't know where we're talking about on that one. But that's where it comes down to.
We were talking about about hot takes and like, there are so many like specifically like evil or twisted hot takes that get out like legitimate, well-founded outrage about them. And Pat always just has like a very medium. He has a very, he has very strong opinions about a medium topic. that other people think is not a medium topic, but it's a medium topic. So people get really mad. It's like Sonic the Hedgehog. Like, holy shit, dude. Like, I had no idea. The Sonic, like, fandom is rabid. Like, they love fucking Sonic the Hedgehog. Like they love Sonic the Hedgehog. You start shitting on Sonic the Hedgehog, they will come for you.
They will come. Are they like K-pop stans?
K-pop stans have been weaponized against right-wingers, so... I no longer feel bad, or I no longer feel negative things towards K-pop stans.
it was one of those things where I didn't have an opinion on it because I just didn't understand it. Like these people are just really into a band. That's what it's like, right? And then they're like, no, it's this whole thing about where they're dressing up like them. I'm like, yeah, people do that about bands too in America. Oh,
there's like a fan. It is its own little like weird kind of like subculture with rules, and like they have fan cams and all sorts of things.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's just because I have little to no understanding of it.
Yeah, it's just a little thing.
Yeah, like I never even heard the word stan until recently either. Like, and I'm like, what the hell is a stan?
I believe it originated from an Eminem song.
Yes, the Eminem song Stan, which is about a fan who wrote to him.
Yeah, it's like a crazy fan. Yeah, he's like obsessed with him.
Yeah, so I guess it became like an internet thing, like making fun of them, but then they accepted it like as their own word.
Well, it wasn't quite that. It's more like Stan became like a shorthand for someone who's just like you super stand behind. Like it removed the negative connotation and became more like you're super into it. So you're like,
yeah,
like if you can be like a Games Workshop stan, and like being a Games Workshop stan, no one's going to be like, that guy is psychotic about Games Workshop. That guy is super into Games Workshop.
So when I write my otaku fiction about me and Marnius Cool Guy, Robo Gilliam.
You could specifically be a Reboot Ghoulie Man stan.
Stan, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you could be like, I stan the Ghoulie Man.
Asterisk rubs up against crotch armor, asterisk. Ooh, what's this?
Oh, whoa, what's this?
Is it? I don't know how to pronounce it. I thought it was ooh woo. So.
I don't actually know. I should put it into Google Translate and find out. I'll find out right now.
Google Translate. You degenerate person.
I'm gonna find out right now. Well, according to Google Translate, if one wanted to pronounce it in English, you would say O-W-O.
Yeah. So that's, I guess that's where we're at.
O-W-O, what's this?
B-N-G-W stan. I don't even know where to go after this.
I've completely defeated the podcast. It's over.
Yeah, you broke the podcast right now. Congratulations. I think so the gaming clubs in my in our area have opened up again. Some are not allowing gaming, some are allowing gaming in stores, and I think actually only one store is allowing gaming in store.
It depends on how big the store is, but yeah. I know that like I would be like, so right now, like I'm cool with going into a place with a mask on, grabbing some shit and bailing, but
yeah.
Like I would absolutely not like sit around inside an enclosed space, because that is they tracked like the number one ways, like the infection vectors, and like being indoors in a tight space with many people, like an office or a thing for extended periods of time, like that's like number one. So those people, like, you know, sitting in Applebee's, just like shoulder to shoulder, just completely surrounded by people for multiple hours, that's the petri dish.
Yeah, but it was like they were allowing like they have a huge game room and they're only allowing a few people in it, like to game, like you have to like reserve ahead of time and blah blah blah. But they showed up a picture of like the people playing at the table, none of them had masks on, and you're just like, oh, Jesus Christ. So you're just like, come on guys, come on, let's be on top of this. Yeah,
that's fucked up. But that's the only too, like a lot of people are ignoring and or maybe not quite understanding, is like the most dangerous spreaders of this never show a symptom.
Yeah.
That's the thing that people don't understand. It's like one dude who never gets, he's like, I never got sick. He had it and he spread it to 1,000 people and never knew, because he was never symptomatic.
I think what you're a little wrong. You're saying it's like, no, most people have understood this. It's the people that can't understand it who are physically incapable of understanding it, which are causing the problems.
Or just don't care, think it's a conspiracy or something.
Well, like yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're physically incapable of understanding.
Sure, you're not wrong. Yeah, it just goes to show how, hashtag we live in a society. It just shows how broken our society is, where like, and like, even the most basic of things is now just like a political stance. Like, oh, this virus that exists. It's like, oh, that's politics. Like,
this. I'm against racism, and I'm not too big to admit that.
Yeah, but like, that's the, like, or that's not even to admit that. Like denying the existence of something that is, I don't know. It's so mind boggling at this point. It's like how do you go from, how do you move on from here? You don't. I think we all just die of the Rona.
My corona.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a fucking disaster.
I'll put money down. I'll say before the end of the year, there's a vaccine. I'm gonna put $5 down on that one. Anyone want to take me up on that one?
I think that's a little too. I do believe there will be a vaccine. Probably, I believe a vaccine will be developed far more rapidly for this virus than there's ever been.
Yeah.
I don't believe it'll be that fast.
Well, they actually already, I think it's because of the speed that they're actually speeding it up, because they're already starting human trials on like a couple of them, mass human trials at this point.
Yeah. So but that's the thing too, like rolling the dice or predicting on a vaccine is always a little rough. Cause like they have like the ETAs. Cause like the researchers, epidemiologists, virologists, like they know they can all, they've told us, like, they're like, it probably will not be within a year, you know, like, and they give like windows of times where they can reasonably come up with a vaccine. The big thing is that you don't, there's always, the chance of a random breakthrough, you know. Yeah. It's like, oh, I discovered the cure for cancer accidentally. Like right now, like bam, suddenly happened. That doesn't follow any sort of like time frame, because it's just a huge breakthrough. It's like when they talk about there's like five breakthroughs that are going to lead to the singularity. I can't remember which one, but like it's like nanotechnology, artificial intelligence, quantum computing. There's like two other ones, but like once one of those happens, it will swiftly cascade into the other ones. So like once you have AI. AI will lead to nanomachines, will lead to quantum computing, will lead to this.
Well, actually, the first one that started the whole thing was when they were the McDLT, where they were able to keep the hot side hot and the cold side cold.
Yes. Yeah, it really is.
That was the first leap in technology towards the singularity.
And you know, the regressives really attacked McDonald's for that and made them discontinue the line.
Well, that was because they put it in the styrofoam container. It was like right at the point where people were finally starting to realize that maybe we are ruining the environment. And then we dipped back the other way. But this was right at the start of it, where we were like, maybe we can help things. And they saw that McDonald's was creating a styrofoam container that was like three times the size of a normal styrofoam container.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious. I just think it's awesome that Jason Alexander sings in that video.
You love that commercial for that.
I do. It's it is by far one of my very favorite commercials ever. Just Jason Alexander singing about the McDLT. And the cool stays cool. Cool stays cool. The hot stays hot. Stays hot. That's just so good.
I think I'll stick by the original Empire Carpet commercials is my favorite.
1-888-2300 Empire.
The funny thing about that is that since that's a local Chicagoland commercial, when it first started out, they had the 312 area code at the start of that. So, and I probably haven't watched local TV in nigh on like 10 years. And just recently I heard the 888, the 800 part at the beginning, and I got like, it gave me like a weird like Mandela effect, like, was this always a case? And I'm like, no, now they're nationwide. Oh, okay, I understand that. A buddy of mine actually got to meet the Empire Carpet guy.
Oh yeah,
apparently the Empire Carpet guy was a an acapella singer. Like, he was in a barbershop singer, that's what he was barbershop, and he was in a barbershop group and my friend's dad was also in a barbershop group, and they were at the same convention or something like that. And so they got to meet the Empire Carpet guy. His name was Lynn.
All right. I got another, he's someone I saw a lot when I was a child, didn't understand what it was, and then
they it's turned into like a cartoon when he died.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a 773-202 beep beep boop beep Luna.
Yeah, that's seriously, in order just to have a successful business, you need a jingle. I'm sorry, like if you know, like a local gaming store made a jingle out of theirs, like I think a lot more people would go.
You're not wrong. If they did TV commercials. Speaking of TV commercials, do you remember years back when GW started to do TV commercials? Do you remember when they did, when Games Workshop stores had television commercials?
They never had them in the US though, did they?
No, they totally did, because I saw one on TV and I lost my fucking mind. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, is this a Warhammer commercial? I'm like, it is.
Well, and that's, I got weirded out by it, because I saw those commercials like on the internet, and I'm like, did they put these in, like, did they air these in Britain? And then I was like, well, they don't have commercials in Britain, I don't think. Maybe they do.
They have, of course they do.
Everyone they do have commercials in Britain. They're just done differently, but
yeah, the difference is, so like most, so I don't know, obviously I don't know every other fucking country's advertising.
You're American, you can assume you do.
Every other advertising things, but I know I know a couple other countries, and usually with advertisements in other countries, it's done it's done before the program.
Yeah.
Then they do one in the middle. Usually there's like a break, and then they do, like it is a commercial break, not many, and then they do one at the very end. So like what you're watching is still mostly intact. They have an intermission of sorts. So like if your show is 30 minutes long. It goes 15 minutes, then there's a pause, they show ads, then it goes the other 15 minutes. That's it. That's how ads work in most places that aren't America. America breaks up everything into just commercials. And so much of the time is commercials is actually like disrupts people. There was someone talking about it disrupts your ability to remember the content you've seen because they break it up with so many ads.
That's why when you watch it in rerun, if you haven't seen it, it's new to you.
It's true. And that's why when you watch it in streaming, like sometimes people have been seeing things they didn't remember from shows when the show aired. And it's just like, I bet you that your memory was disrupted by the fact that you saw 17 Clorox bleach commercials in between that, trying to watch your show.
They're trying to understand young Sheldon.
Oh God. Oh man, that's the, like, if you wanted to like a recipe in how to take something bad and make it worse, just look at young Sheldon. It's like, mm-hmm. It's like the easiest thing. Like if you ever have a desire to take something that already sucks and like up the ante and like increase its suckitude, just look at young Sheldon. That's all you need.
Increase its suckitude.
Increase the suckitude. Just like someone looked at Big Bang Theory and was like, you know what? I don't think this show is fucking terrible enough. I've got to figure out a way to make it worse.
And they're making a lot of money doing it.
Oh yeah, well I long ago stopped trying to figure out what makes sitcoms popular, like or like what because like even when Seinfeld was on, Seinfeld was really the only sitcom I really liked, and then like I would sometimes see like Frasier was okay.
Third Rock. Maybe I hear the blues are calling.
Just sailing and scrambling. Hey baby.
Seem a bit confused, but. I got you, babe. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salad and scrambled eggs. They're going again.
So, like, I like Frasier, and then, like, Third Rock from the Sun had some really good moments. And, like, I get it. But, like, so many of the sitcoms that just became, like, just soared to huge popularity, I never understood. Like, I never got Friends. I never got Everybody Loves Raymond. I don't get it. But, like, very specifically, like, Big Bang Theory is just like so odd, like that show caught on. And I figured out my guess for Big Bang Theory specifically is I'm going to call it the loot box effect. So when loot box first, or loot crate effect. So you, like, I'm sure you remember, but when loot crate first started to become a thing, fucking everyone hopped on loot crate.
Yeah.
Everyone did, because it was like oh cool, what a neat thing, like you pay a small amount of money and they send you a box of like random like knickknacks, that's fun, I'll do that. So everyone did that, and it kind of became this like scattershot of pop culture, that like everyone was hit, and that's what led to the popularity of that awful fucking book, Ready Player One. That book, I still stand by, the only reason that book received any notoriety or any popularity whatsoever is because it was one in one of the initial loot crates that had the highest subscription count. Like the most mailed out loot crates contained that book.
I don't know. Then you'd be assuming that people are reading.
No, see, enough people started reading it and they're like, oh, it's about video games. And they put it on their shelf and then never read it again. And then the movie came out. So they went to go see them. They went to go see the movie.
One of Spielberg's biggest misses, I feel.
Movie was awful. It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. So bad.
Did you actually watch the movie?
I did. I watched the movie when it came on somewhere where I didn't pay for it. Some streaming service where I didn't pay for it. And I did watch it. And it was actually terrible. Like, I couldn't believe how bad it was. I was just like, this film has absolutely no substance. It's literally just randomly putting things on the screen and do it. It was the fucking Andy Richter bit from Conan, where it's like, and they cut to Andy Richter and he's like, "Memba dis?" And it just points at something on the screen that was popular at one point. And that's it. And then he just goes to the next thing and goes, "Memba dis?" Like, it was that as a movie.
Mm-hmm.
There was no substance whatsoever. It was just, it was fucking awful.
Well, I think the biggest miss in the entire movie was the fact that Spielberg said he wasn't going to reference his own movies in the movie. And I'm like, that's a huge mistake, because that's exactly the reason I want to see this movie, is because I want to see you reference your old movies, you know?
We're going to need a bigger movie.
Yeah, I wanted some meta commentary from Steven Spielberg about this. And he was just like, meh, I'm going to mail it in. I phoned it in, not mail it in.
Yeah, it was just not good, as they say, not good. I think that Big Bang Theory is as it is, was loot crate in a television program. So it was something that was like, it was innocuous. It was like mildly, like kind of maybe funny. And then reference things that you might not know, but have definitely heard. So like, you feel like you're part of an in joke, even if you don't get the joke. Cause it's like, they're playing Settlers of Catan and you're like, oh, I played that at a dinner party once. Ha ha ha. This is so relatable. I think that's what the effect of that show was. And I think that's why that was
popular. Could very well be. That's actually not a terrible, terrible opinion. I could see that where I think what you're talking about most is that kind of like, I'm part of an inside joke because I get these completely baseline references to
right.
nerd culture, exactly. Like the absolute zero minimum nerd culture style. It's like when you see them playing World of Warcraft with like a PS4 controller.
Right. You know, exactly.
Just, yeah. Like people who actually know it are like, wait a second.
Yeah. But, nobody. Like, World of Warcraft is unplayable with a controller.
Yeah, but most people that are like, World of Warcraft video game, they're using a video game controller.
Yes.
Brilliant.
That's exactly it. So,
yeah.
And that's why I think that show in particular got popular. And most of the other sitcoms, I usually can at least be like, this is for a demographic that is not me. So yeah. I can usually get like I didn't like Friends because that was just absolutely not.
It was about people who, because it was about people who actually had, you know, friends. No, I'm joking, Steve. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was way more popular in high school than I am now.
It's only because you wore a leather jacket and smoked cigarettes underneath the bleachers.
It's true. My edgy facade was a draw.
And you were also really into My Chemical Romance.
No, that was a little after my time.
I guess. Yeah. All right, so let's.
No, my edgy, the edgy music I had was Nine Inch Nails and Marilyn Manson, I believe, were the most edgy band shirts you could buy at the time. Anyway,
so let's talk a little bit about some actual gaming stuff as opposed to what we're talking about, which is doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But the one thing I wanted to bring up was that that there's a new affordable large-scale 3D printer that's been released.
Ooh. Is it resin or plastic?
It's the resin one. Like because I have a resin and a plastic. This is the resin one. The build plate itself, like right now, is only about 4 inches by like 9 inches, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a You can't do a lot with it. As I said, you can make about 10 figures at a time if you're, if they're small. If they're a little bigger, you could do between 8 and 6. So you can, like a human size figure.
Okay.
So like you can't, you could do stuff like, let's say I wanted to print some sort of ground pounding tank, like named after a, you know, whatever. But let's say I wanted to do that. I'd have to cut it into multiple pieces, then glue it all back together after it's been printed. Right. So this new printer that's coming out is 3 times the size of that. And so let's just put it this way. You can print a Land Raider with one go.
Nice.
Yeah. Like you're not even having to worry about it separating it into pieces, not worrying about assembling it after it's done. This is literally a tank printer at the same time. You could almost, you could print like parts of Stormtrooper armor in one piece instead of thousands of pieces. It's a game changer. And that's the reason I wanted to bring it up, was that yesterday they actually opened up the pre-sale. I was not planning on buying one because I thought it was going to be way more expensive than it was.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing's only $300.
What's it called?
It's called the Elegoo Saturn.
How do you spell that?
E-L-E-G-O.
Oh, Elegoo. I've heard of Elegoo.
Yeah. Elegoo, and it's called the Saturn. It's this massive machine. But it's only $300, and I almost lost my shit when I saw that. And then I got lost my shit again when I found out it was sold out in 3 minutes from the first pre-order. I was
I'm looking at it. It's very cool looking.
It is. I mean, I have the Mars, which is basically a smaller version of the Saturn, and it's, if you want to print your own stuff, you want to print your own minis, this is the way to go at this point. Like,
yeah, it's a resin 3D printer. I'm looking at a print of a bust of Tim Curry as the devil in
Legend.
Legend, and man, it's fucking good.
Yeah, my biggest I have two concerns with this, by the way. So if you are thinking about doing this, these are my concerns. The first is that because it's brand new and it has a bigger print screen, the print screens on those things are not they break. And they don't break often, but they'll break, you know, once or twice a year for you. And right now, so for mine, it costs about $30 to get the build plate and the print screen replaced. But if this bigger one breaks, that's going to cost probably upwards of $100 at that point. Mm. I don't know. And the machine's only $300, so it's like,
yeah, the component's likely not that expensive. If it's if it's $300, they've probably got a if yours is 30, you said, so it'll probably be $50 to $60.
I'm probably around, yeah. And the other thing is because it's got such a huge build plate, you need to put a fuck ton more resin in that to print out anything. So you're probably going to be spending about $30 every time you're going to try and print something, just putting the resin into the tank.
Well, you'll want to make sure that, I think you'll probably just want to make sure that you're printing things that are worth the.
Yeah. It's not real. And it all depends on what you're printing and how much you're printing and everything like that. If you're just printing one figure on it, it's still, it, the problem is just keeping the tank filled enough. That's the problem.
Mm.
So that's just an issue. So if you're doing that, you got to stick with like the same type of resin to make sure that you can refill. It's a big pain in the butt, but I wanted to mention that. One of the other things is that we're hearing more about the 9th edition changes to Warhammer 40K.
Yeah, they all sound pretty good. They've effectively killed soup, which is nice.
They didn't kill soup. They just made soup not worth taking, which is killing it.
That's why I said effectively killing it. It's still, you can still take it. It just doesn't give you nothing but upside.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because in 8th edition, for those who didn't play Warhammer 40K 8th edition, which includes myself and Steve, you used to get command points for taking different battalions inside your army. So what they wanted you to do was, it was an incentive to build a larger army, but they didn't realize that it quickly came down to you take these three things, which are the most optimal three detachments to take in the smallest size possible, and you'll get all of the command points.
Right.
So every major tournament winning army for 4 to 6 months was the same exact army, which was Guard, Blood Angels, and a Night Titan.
Mm.
Like that was it. It was 32 guard models, like 12 blood angel models and a titan. And it was like, that was the winning army. And it wasn't like a fluke win. That was the consistent winning army for 6 months.
Yeah.
So now they've changed command points, so you get them by taking certain things as opposed to just flat out battalions. I talked with young Giuseppe about it, and he says there's too much bookkeeping in this game for me at this point. But yeah, that's the big change that I think most people are excited about. But they've also improved vehicles. So vehicles and monstrous creatures now are much better. There's like certain combos are getting nuked. And from what everyone's saying, and I don't know about this because I'm not this type of person, but the campaign system Crusade is supposed to be super cool.
Hey, I mean, I like campaigns, so you're talking my language.
Yeah. Every mini gaming campaign I've ever seen or been part of just tends to fall, like crumble to dust after 4 weeks.
I ran several successful ones, from start to finish, at workshop. And the key I found was you have to completely check one player's ability to, overwhelm the game in however that means. So, like a lot of the older campaigns were just like, play as many games as you want. You get rewards for as many games as you play. So that means that the two dudes who aren't working for whatever reason, just play their games kind of like every day. Both of their, you know, gold or whatever just accumulates to a point where, like, if they, by the time they actually play someone who maybe gets to play once a week, that dude has nothing, has no resources. They have all the resources because they had nothing but time. So they just absolutely shit on him with their like 5,000 point army. And he's like, I only have 2,000 points. How do you have 5,000 points? So you have to stop things like that. And also for map-based campaigns, you have to have, there needs to be some sort of balancing factor that makes it so that no one player can just like overwhelm the game. Because especially if the game's if it's a resource management thing where like the more territories you control, the more resources you get. Because what happens is one player swiftly takes the lead swiftly becomes insurmountable, and everyone else quits.
Oh yeah.
So if you want a campaign to last a long time, that's one of the keys you have to accommodate for. You have to make sure that like a player can't overwhelm it. So, and if a player does overwhelm it, you have to just be like, he won. We're starting a new campaign, because you know what else are you gonna do? Because no one's gonna play him. Like no one's gonna play the dude that no one's gonna play the dude who literally is invincible. Like they can't beat him. No one's gonna enjoy that. And that's why most campaigns fall apart, because especially the older editions were never written for the older editions of campaigns were never written with the intention, or maybe not intention, but they weren't written with the experience of trying to run a campaign with a bunch of people who are otherwise strangers. Because if I was playing a campaign with four people I knew, like we were all friends independently of where we were playing the campaign of, that would never happen, because it's the four of us. We all know each other. One of us isn't going to go run the numbers and beat someone up at the game store for like a week straight and then come back to the three of us and kick our asses, because we are the people in the campaign. So when you're playing a campaign at a store where it's open entry, everyone can come in and play, you have to have rules or regulations that reflect what you're doing. And all of the old campaign rules were never written for that. They were written for like three friends who play Warhammer on the weekends together to run a campaign. And that's the way
that's not how it goes.
Yes. So like the General's Handbook was a great book. And if you ran that campaign as written and you only played with like two or three people you knew, that campaign was pretty hard to get out of hand. Like it still could, because the snowball ability was certainly there, but it was way different than if you tried to run it at a store where just like, I'm at the store today and I want to play three games, and then I'm going to be at the store tomorrow and I want to play three games. Now suddenly I'm up five games to everyone else playing in this campaign.
Oh man.
There's my campaign rant.
So anyway, so that's ninth edition is looking like it's probably going to come out soon, probably around August, you think?
Maybe, provided there aren't any delays.
Yeah. So yeah, and so we're gonna get this new.
No, I think July. Well, they'd probably target July because isn't the big Warhammer release every summer in July? Isn't that like the generally? I mean, I'm trying to remember, but I think it's always July for like the big release.
Right? Yeah, but I think I was gonna say August because everything's been pushed back.
Okay, yeah, I get what you're saying. So this would have been the July release, but yeah, now it's coming out in August.
This would have been the big summer release, but now it's coming out in August.
Yeah, I can see that.
But so with that, however, is going to be the death knell of the old Space Marine. From what I'm hearing, all of the old Space Marine stuff is going to be discontinued off the shelves.
You mean generic Space Marine stuff, not stuff like Dark Angels and Black Templar, et cetera? You mean like the box of like the Ultramarines, basically?
Yeah. All of that stuff is getting discontinued, even to the point where I think even some of the... Dark Elf, Black Templar, or whatever is going to get discontinued as well.
That would be very surprising because, like that, the Space Marines Codex has been pretty. I mean, when it got released and it was the strongest army in the game, there was a.
Yeah, but most of the stuff that made it strong was the Primaris stuff.
I don't think so. It was mostly, well, it was Iron Hands rules mostly. Yeah. Iron Hands rules were pretty insane.
Well, it was whatever the Codex of the du jour was. That was like whatever the best army was, because it was like Salamanders, then Iron Hands, and then whatever. Yeah, it just, you know, Codex creep caught up with it real quick. But yeah, that's what's going to, you know, what I'm hearing, they're discontinuing all of the original Space Marine stuff and going straight to Primaris. I think that they said that... What I heard was is their goal is to completely even phase out the term Primaris by the next edition. So they're just Space Marines.
That sounds pretty, I mean, I don't fucking know. That sounds wild to me, but you know, maybe.
Yeah. And you figure if like, let's say that there's no longer any regular Space Marines by M43 or whenever the next edition is going to be taking place, you know, because they're like pushing it up 1,000 years, people won't even remember that there were small Space Marines because they were they were in myth and legend.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It just seems that seems very wild to me that they would discontinue a line that is that popular.
But they're not discontinuing it. They're just replacing it with the Primaris Marines.
Yeah, I guess. It just sounds odd.
It doesn't, because I think there's so many things like they don't like the old Space Marines to begin with, because if they did, they would put out new kits for them. But literally everything is Primaris at this point. There hasn't been a regular Space Marine release for like 3 years. I think the last thing that I saw that said that it was like a regular Space Marine was the like whatever 40th anniversary figure that they released 3 years ago was the Beaky guy.
Oh, the Beaky.
So they're getting rid of all that. Like they finally replaced bikes. They're going to be replacing land speeders because that's next up on the list. And there was like a preview of it. So there at least a very few things that the actual Space Marine Army would have that wouldn't be, with the Primaris.
Maybe like, I do not follow it enough to have a super strong opinion. It sounds that it would be likely that they would discontinue the generic. Like to me, like if I'm just sight unseen. What would make the most sense to me, just like from a pure like money perspective, is they would discontinue the generic stuff. Primaris Marines replace the generic stuff because that's kind of what they are. Like a box of Ultramarine Tactical Marines versus a box of Primaris Tactical. Like you look and you're like, well, these Primaris are way cooler because they're bigger and they look sweet. And the Ultramarine dudes just look like smaller, weak ass versions of these Primaris. So getting rid of the generic, but keeping the stuff that's like the Dark Angels kits and things like that, that makes sense to me.
Well, I think it's, well, the Dark Angels stuff, I guess there is some plastics with the Dark Angels stuff that's relatively new.
Because they have the ones that have all like the robes and shit.
Yeah, they got all like, they're very fancy. But I think GW just wants to get rid of all of those old kits because they're multi-part. They can't like control the bits market on a lot of that stuff and the secondary bits market on a lot of it, because that's the reason why they're going to these like one or two piece press kit fit models, is because you can't, it's much harder to modify them. You know, right. Like it's hard to find a sword that fits or whatever without going through and 3D designing your own and then printing it out.
Right. Like making an actual like part yourself that's designed to replace a part that they have.
Yeah. Which I'm not lying. I've done that before because I got fed up with shit.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. I don't know. It's one of those. It just sounds insane because like Space Marines were so much of like what they sold like that. But it's probably different now. Like I have to imagine because like Age of Sigmar is a bona fide success now, and like the new armies like do really well. So they probably don't. Perhaps they do not lean on the generic Space Marine kit as much as I have been exposed to.
Yeah.
Because I'm used to being, you know, I'm used to the mindset and the sight of Space Marines are 80% of the company sales.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean,
that was bar none. Like 80% of the kits that Games Workshop sold were fucking Space Marines.
Well, if they get, okay, but like imagine this. How much shelf space would that open up if they cut out all the Space Marine stuff and just went straight Primaris with it?
Oh, I mean, there'd be a ton, but they could even do that. If, like I said, they could do that by keeping the specific chapter. If it was just chapter specific sculpts and Primaris, that makes perfect sense because that's the in terms of me printing money, that would be the way to generate the maximum amount of revenue. Because it's like, yeah, you want to play Space Marines? These are the models you buy. You point to the Primaris. We're like, oh, you want to play Dark Angels? You point to the Dark Angels Terminators. We're like, this is what you want.
Yeah, so, you know, I would agree with you, except for there's probably way fewer of those chapter specific units than you remember, or at least that are like separately sculpted, not like a like it's like, oh, this is a normal Space Marine kit with a couple plastic with like a plastic spruce stuck in.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's very few of those anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, because most of them, if they exist, they're the old kit. Or the old, you know, Mark VII Terminator in infantry armor, mm-hmm. mixed in with a sprue of like wolf tails that you could stick on the Space Marines' butts to make it look like they got butt plugs.
Finally, but there's a good chunk of specific sculpts though. So maybe that'll be the design idea is that you'll be like to play like your Space Wolves army. It'll be like the majority of your kits will be. Primaris, but then you'll have your Blood Claws kit that they like the new plastic Blood Claws sculpts that they did, or the Iron Fang or the Long Fangs, which they did a specific kit for just the Long Fangs. That might be the new idea too. Who fucking knows? I mean, we'll see, won't we?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We'll find it. We're just spitballing here. We got no idea. We have no skin in this game. We really don't care.
I can certainly see. Like discontinuing the old SKUs that are coming that they're replacing with a new sculpt of Primaris for sure. So like bikes are a great example. Like the Space Marine bikes are like the oldest fucking kit in the universe. So just dropping that entirely and just making the Primaris bikes the bikes now, I get that. That's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense because they're discontinuing a kit that's old.
Yeah. Oh no, 100%. They're just discontinuing old kits. But it's gonna get down to the point where it's like they're literally gonna be getting rid of like plastic scouts because there's no reason to have plastic scouts anymore.
Sure.
Which actually, out of all the old plastic kits, probably scouts would make the most amount of sense in universe. Because they're smaller than the Primaris. They're they haven't gone through all of the training yet, whatever.
Well, the Primaris have dope-ass looking scouts, too, so.
Yeah, that's the other part of it, yeah.
I don't know what they don't call them scouts, they call them something else, but, like, they're fucking scouts, and they look awesome.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I'm looking online right now at the actual Games Workshop website. Mm-hmm. They have pretty much taken almost all of the plastics out of putting it out of stock online. So like,
oh yeah,
so like Blood Claws, Terminators, all that stuff, it's all off right now.
I mean, Imperial Fists, there's an absolute shit ton of kits there though.
Yeah, the purge has begun.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes I said there's points where it makes sense and there's points where it doesn't. So you'll probably start seeing a very specific,
it's a bold move, Cotton. We'll see how this turns out.
Yeah. We'll see how it plays.
We'll see how this plays.
Yeah.
Nothing in the rule book says dogs can't play poker.
Yeah. I get it. Well, I mean, Yeah, no, this is, but see, like, for example, like the Land Speeder Storm, like that's the Scout Speeder. Like, isn't that kit like pretty new? Like,
well, there's a lot of kits that are pretty new. And by pretty new, I mean, like, probably, you know, they're over 3 years old at this point, as I was saying. Mm-hmm. But it's, that's actually still relatively new in Games Workshop, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the Lemon Russ is what, fucking more than 20 years old?
Yeah. The Lehman Russ is 20 years old. I mean, it's not unprecedented. I mean, a lot of kits that were recently discontinued for Age of Sigmar are relatively newer kits. The White Lions, most of the High Elf stuff was all brand new.
That's true, but also those obviously could not have held a candle to the Space Marine kits in sales. No fucking way.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like the High Elf kits were really, really new. And they discontinued them. However, if you see now that they actually are releasing High Elves for Age of Sigmar, I don't know when those guys are going to be dropped. They've been previewing them for quite a while.
Yeah, well, they said they were going to be super delayed because of the Rona.
Because of the Rona, which means also that the Giant Army will be delayed as well.
Actually, there's a possibility that the Giant Army might end up falling out earlier than the Eldar or the Elf Army simply because there's less kits.
Yeah, I still say that, you know, I think you're saying that there's going to be a third kit that we haven't seen yet.
Like
a smaller giant kit.
It'll be that, or there's going to be a repurpose. So yeah. It'll be like there'll be an ogre kit that goes with them or something. But I think there's going to be, I feel that there'll be a new kit. Either that, or they're going to have some very crazy rules on how to get objectives. And that's the only reason I think that there's another kit. Because very specifically, like, or they might just have nuts rules for objectives. Because like the Maw tribes are a great example of like Maw tribes are still like they're not great, but they definitely upped their playability by making every one of their models except for Noblar count as more than one model in some case. Like the regular ogre counts as two. Dudes count as 10, and then they can take a thing that makes them count as 20 or something. So if every giant counts as 20 models base, then they wouldn't need smaller models.
Yeah, I was thinking that what they're probably going to do is they'll probably repurpose the Saigor / whatever the other giant Beastman kit is. You know what I'm talking about? The giant Beastman. Or the Beast Man. Well, I mean,
they would have an incentive because those guys' models are awesome and their rules fucking suck. So. giving them better rules might make sense.
Yeah, and so that would be that's one of the things that you'll probably end up seeing, and you'll probably end up seeing the giants, the actual giant kit is going to be like every little thing is going to slightly change the rules. So it's like if you put this head on him, he gets this rule, and if you put this head on it, he gets this rule.
Yeah, I mean the size of those kits is fucking monstrously huge. Like you cannot believe.
Well, the super big ones, yes, but I'm talking about just like the regular Gargant.
Mm. Oh yeah, although the regular Gargant doesn't really have that many like.
I think there's two heads. I think
it has a ton of bits. Like there's tons of different heads, because there's the one with the jawbone head. There's like the beard one. There's like the chaosy one that's got like the horns and stuff.
Yeah.
But as far as like, oh, and then there's the one with nothing on it. That's just like a bald ass head. But as far as gear goes, there really isn't.
No, but that's what I'm saying is it's going to be depend on like the head. Whatever head you put on is going to change the rules.
Yeah, maybe. I think the Gargant might just. Although another thing to note, the Chaos Gargant is sold out. So, or the regular giant kit, I shouldn't say Chaos Gargant because you can build whatever out of it. But like the giant model kit is currently sold out. So
yeah, well they're probably repackaging it for whatever have you.
Maybe they'll make it a twofer. That'd be pretty cool.
But the so you'll appreciate this. Speaking of giants, so there's a guy online. I'm not going to say his name because I don't want this getting out too much. But what he's doing is he's taking the assets out of Total War and cleaning them up and making printable files out of them. So he did that with the actual Chaos Giant from Total War, and it looks fucking amazing.
That's pretty cool. So he's 3D printing the 3D models
from
the game.
Yeah.
Nice.
But he just did one of Grom the Paunch. That's like the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
I did see that, and it's very, very good.
Yeah. But it's like, so when you said like that giant kit's sold out, I'm like, not according to my printer.
Well, that was simply for speculation on what they might be doing.
Yeah. No, I know.
But also I do have to say, trying to figure out what they're doing. I used to think that the stuff going out of stock was like a reasonable indicator, but after seeing like how, like the various different releases and so on and so forth, I don't actually think it's an indicator.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right.
Just because it used to be. Like, it used to be like, oh, they're just continuing this line, so once these went out. But then, like, there was, like, there were definitely some kits that went out of print before they released Cities of Sigmar that came back when they did Cities of Sigmar. So yeah. You can't quite be sure just going off of what is out of print.
They just want you to be confused and scared at all times.
Yes.
All right, I think we are over time at this point, so and I don't want to go too long. I think James was complaining about us going an hour and a half last time.
take that
actually. And there actually is I wanted to shout out to Jacob Burleson, who's a listener who actually reached out to me through Instagram and said some very nice things. He also told me to watch Brawl in Cell Block 99, which I have seen. Have you seen that one?
No, I've never heard of it. Is it good?
It's a Vince Vaughn joint. But it's a very slow burn. I dug it quite a bit. Who is the director? The director did a bunch of cool stuff. But it's basically about this like guy who gets sent to prison, and it all is just all lead up to the brawl in Cell 99.
And that's funny.
When you get to that brawl, it's fucking amazing.
I like it. Hey, you know what? It's better than some of those films that have names like Brawl in Cell 99, and then the film ends and you're like, hey, wait a minute, there was never a brawl.
Well, it's okay. So it's Craig Zahler. He's the guy who did Bone Tomahawk, which I know you've seen Bone Tomahawk.
No, I've also not seen Bone Tomahawk.
Oh, you go watch, go watch Bone Tomahawk, because it's fucking amazing. And he also did, his newest one was Dragged Across Concrete. Dragged Across Concrete, which is the Mel Gibson, Vince Vaughn movie.
I heard a shit ton of people talking about Dragged Across Concrete. They said it was really, really good, but I haven't seen
it. Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet, but I have seen Bone Tomahawk, and you will love
Bone Tomahawk. Bone Tomahawk was a movie I wanted to watch. I just never got around to it. That was in that like very short resurgence of Westerns that like came back out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was a couple of, what year? It was 2015. So yeah, yeah, it was a couple of years ago.
Because
so
that was like when they did 310 to Yuma and like
310 to Yuma was like 2007.
Really?
Yeah, that was I was living in Lyle at that point. Sorry guys, that was a little too much Joe information at that point.
No, the wave for Bone Tomahawk had to be what, the True Grit remake?
No, that was even earlier.
No.
Yeah, True Grit was...
True Grit was 2010, so 5 years before.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
No, that's about right. Each one has... So I kept... I guess I'm talking about the, like, one movie, because there's always, like, a little group of Westerns that come out around the same time, and I just kept thinking of different Westerns that were at each group, but not the group together, if you follow me.
No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, because there's always like a little resurgence where they make like three Western movies, just like they happen at the same time. And someone was talking about how it's really funny about production cycles and how things seem to work, that where like movies that come out just have similar themes. And they like, it was a really interesting read about why you see films all come out around the same time that seem very similar. And I don't want to talk about his main point, because I'll probably completely butcher it. But it was very interesting to read. That's so weird. Like, it's like, I never even thought about that. But it's like, yeah, it's like, that's why you always see like, oh, that's why you see things like Real Steel and then that other robot movie at the same time.
Robot
like,
Jacks.
Not the classic Robot Jacks. Everyone loves Robot Jacks. But everyone who's anyone knows, sees, loves, and still loves Robot Jocks. And that's Jocks with a J-O-X. Fantastic stop motion in that film. By the way, I fucking love Robot Jocks.
You know what?
Terrible sequel, though.
You know what was a Western that was probably around that time? Was it either Django or Hateful Eight? Was probably around that time.
There you go. There's one of the other ones.
Let me see. Django was.
There's the Proposition. Proposition came out around 3:10 to Yuma time, I think. Around the same time frame. The Proposition is an excellent film as well. That's a.
Proposition was 2005.
So around 3:10 to Yuma, because 3:10.
Oh yeah, seven. Yeah. I'm thinking.
So like, it's always like a cluster. Like there's a little group, and then they did the remake of the Magnificent Seven or.
Yuck.
Oh yeah, I heard it was terrible. I didn't see it.
Why would anybody want to remake that?
Money. they think it's an easy way to print money. But the problem is when you remake an iconic film, you've got to have like a real. Something to like oomph it out. Like I think the only like iconic film remake that I can think of that ended up being good enough to get its own sequel was Halloween, the Rob Zombie Halloween, because that got Halloween and Halloween 2. I think every other iconic film series reboot or remake has kind of failed.
Cross your fingers on Dune.
you know what? If it looks really cool visually. So, I mean, it might work. Dune's, I mean, I love Dune. The problem with Dune is that the only good Dune book is Dune.
Exactly.
that's the problem with, like, the problem with Dune as a franchise is absolutely that the only good Dune book is Dune. And nobody get that twisted. Dune is a fantastic book. It's one of the thickest, heaviest, like, you can kill someone with this if it's hardcover books out there. But it is an excellent, excellent book. But because I'm trying to think, like, because I don't count something like Star Trek, because that's a franchise that never went away. Like it was all like there's always like Star Trek, something was happening. Well, I guess there was a pretty big lull in Star Trek content before they did the J.J. Abrams one, but
yeah.
But it was like, I mean, I'm trying to say, like, because the Nightmare on Elm Street reboot was really bad. I actually thought the movie was fine, but it wasn't what anyone wanted. Like, because by the time that came out, Freddy had already been established as like a goofy character.
Yeah.
So when they made that movie and played it straight, everyone was like, ugh, I don't like this. This is creepy.
He's some sort of pedophile.
Yeah.
Like,
everyone kind of forgot that's what Freddy Krueger was. because they only really talk about that in the first movie. The first movie is creepy. Freddy is like a scary fucking character. And then as soon as you hit like Dream Warriors from that point on, he's like a goofy, like making puns, fucking listening to Dokken.
So, but I did want to say to Jacob about the brawl in Cell Block 99. It's like, yes, that is an awesome fucking movie, and it's a slow burn. If you might check out after the first half hour, but you gotta, it's one of those ones that you gotta push through, because the ending is like the brawl in the cell block is the best fucking part.
All right, fair enough. On the cell block.
And since at least before we end, I wanted to mention, did you see what was on Joe Bob this week?
Oh yeah, I watch Joe Bob every Friday. It's my thing.
You watched Tetsuo the Iron Man?
God, that movie's bad.
That movie's so fucking bad. Yeah,
it's really bad.
I'm gonna watch it for Joe Bob's commentary, because I do appreciate it.
His commentary is excellent, but that movie is bad. Like, and as a pretty like, as a pretty someone who's severely down with weebitis.
Yeah.
Movie is bad.
That's a hard one to watch. It just doesn't make any sense, and it's not like fun. It's like it's supposed to be experimental and weird. It's not one of my favorites.
But the thing about it, but I will say this, even for being a bad movie, there are some excellent like things in that movie that are great in like in the like Lynchian Cronenberg school of film.
It's incredibly Cronenberg.
Yes, in the Lynch, it's like if you fused David Cronenberg and David Lynch into one being, made him Japanese and made him do a shit ton of speed and come up with a movie.
Tetsuo the Iron Man.
You would absolutely come up with Tetsuo the Iron Man, because there's parts in it that's great. The problem is like it's structurally like nothing. It's just gobbledygook, and like the like, you can't follow the movie because the movie cuts in weird way. I don't know. It's a bad movie, but it's definitely worth watching with the Joe Bob commentary.
Well, yeah, because I've been trying to catch up on most of the Joe Bob stuff. I watched One Cut of the Dead. I watched Exorcist 3, which is much better in my rewatch than I remember it as a kid.
Right?
I hated Exorcist 3 as a kid. Now I watched it again. I'm like, this is not a bad movie. This is actually a decent movie.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Well, you know, I think I personally might have remembered The Exorcist 3 as The Exorcist 2, and The Exorcist 2 is fucking awful.
Yeah, Exorcist 2 is awful. Exorcist 3 is decent. And then there's The Exorcist, like, reboot that they did. It wasn't a reboot, but it was like a super prequel. It was like, there are two cuts of it too. I'm going to see if I can figure this one out. Hold on. Cause there was like,
I do have to say that the jump scare in Exorcist 3, iconic. One of the best jump scares I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, it's pretty good. Yeah.
I was like, wow, that guy. Like, normally I'm not like, I don't get got by jump scares. It's not like a, hey, I'm tough. It's just normally they just don't get me. But that one, I was like, fuck, I almost fell out of my chair. It was good.
I can't find it. I'm trying to look on IMDb. I know one of them had, it was like a movie. They built all the sets for it and they did all of the work on it.
Is it not just Exorcist the Beginning? There's if I remember correctly, there's Dominion prequel to The Exorcist and Exorcist the Beginning, and I think they're the same movie.
Yes, that's absolutely right. Yeah. And I know one of them has Stellan Skarsgård in it, and it's a completely, like, both movies are 100% different. They're two different movies. But I just...
Stellan Skarsgård is in the one that's called Dominion.
No, he's in both. He's in Exorcist the Beginning and in Dominion.
Oh, because it's just a recut, right?
Yeah, it's a recut.
Right.
I remember one of them. I think he has a bigger part in one of them. But yeah. So Exorcist Beginning came out in 2004, and then Dominion came out in 2005. And it's like Dominion was the one that was the original cut, I believe.
So Dominion would be the director's cut.
Yes, I think. And then they because they brought in Rennie Harlan, I think. Rennie Harlan to recut it, and that's how they got Exorcist Beginning. So it's both are not good movies, but they're fun to watch. I really like that. I had a great Southern philosopher I used to work with one time told me, he goes, only a true Catholic can find the Exorcist movies frightening because of their belief in the devil and demons.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, yes, sir. I won't say his name, but I'll say Mr. Thibodeau. Thank you very much for that bit of information right there.
Mr. Thibodeau.
That's my classic, because my Southern philosopher friend is from Louisiana. So
I like it. I'll
give him a Creole name. But yeah, and then I...
Now, if you listen to me here, I'm not a big city lawyer.
Yeah. I might not be no big city lawyer, but I do know what the law is. I'm caught up to Cannibal Holocaust. I watched Dead Heat, which wasn't as terrible as I was expecting it to be, but
I loved Dead Heat. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this movie's great. Like,
it's totally a movie that we as like 7 or 8 year olds would love.
Yes, that's absolutely what I felt. And I was like, and like it had everybody in it. Fucking Vincent Price.
And Robert Picardo was in there.
Robert Picardo, yep, he was in there. Joey Buttafuoco.
Joe Piscopone.
Joe Piscopo.
Williams, Joe Piscopone, Darren McGavin. They were all in there.
It was definitely an 80s who's who. But yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I did not watch Cannibal Holocaust because I've seen that movie. I felt that movie is terrible. Like, so here's the thing about that. Interestingly enough, I watched Cannibal Holocaust when I was in my teens, and I thought that movie sucked. Like, I just thought it was bad. Like, I was like, this movie fucking sucks. And then after I learned, like I thought the movie was bad after having watched it. And then I learned about all the bullshit in that movie. And I was like, holy fuck. So I was like, I'm good. Don't need to watch that movie again.
Oh, you know, luckily they put out just the Joe Bob commentary
I do want to watch. I do want to see just the Joe Bob part.
I followed that. And I will tell you, Cannibal Holocaust is one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
Terrible.
Right. It has nothing to do with any of the content. Like, I'm not, like, you know, so upset about them killing a chicken or a turtle or whatever it was on screen. I'm more just upset that it's just a bad movie.
It's a terrible movie. It's fucking awful. That movie was fucking terrible. Like, that's the thing. Like, that movie was terrible. And I was like, that movie fucking sucked. And then I learned about all, like, the unethical shit they did. And I was like, wow. And now I just hate that movie worse.
I remember seeing that one in the early 2000s, I think is when I actually saw it. And I just did not care about it then when I watched it. And I do not care about it now. I probably should give it another watch, because there have been a lot of movies on Shudder that I've given a second chance and have really enjoyed, not expecting to enjoy it that much. But Cannibal Holocaust probably will have to wait until I have I've watched everything else on Shudder.
Yeah, you can rest assured it is just as bad as you remember, if not worse. It's just awful. There's a lot of movies that I've enjoyed rewatching, because I felt that some of them was a little bit of like a rediscover. Like, I was like, oh wow, I rediscovered this film and I love it. And although I have yet to encounter a movie that I remember hating, like straight up like that movie sucks, and then going back and rewatching it going like, wow, I really like that movie. Because I'm pretty sure that I thought I hated The Exorcist 3, but after having watched it, I think I never saw The Exorcist 3. I think I thought The Exorcist 2 was The Exorcist 3. Because when he said Exorcist 3, I was like, ah, man, the movie fucking sucks. And then like I started watching it, I'm like, this is about a detective. What the fuck is this movie?
Oh yeah, it's George C. Scott just yelling at cops the entire time.
Yes, and really bizarre, long-winded scenes of dialogue that are just out there.
My favorite is the carp scene. That
is the most bizarre sequence. Yeah. So weird.
So anyway, go to Game Classy Facebook page. It's the best way to get in contact with us. You could also like, comment, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. It's literally the best way you can help out the podcast. You could also like, comment, subscribe on YouTube, but I don't care about YouTube at all. YouTube has brought nothing but pain to our society. It's slightly below Twitter when it comes to the damage that is done to our society.
I mean, I would normally agree, but being able to immediately respond to the police saying this man fell with a million Twitter videos of them pushing him.
That's true.
I can't.
So the exception that proves the rule, Steve.
Yes, there we are.
That 0.00001% of tweets that actually do something good.
Yes, there you go. That you're right. That this current situation is the exception that proves the rule.
Yeah. You could also follow me on the Instagram. I'm Game Classy Joe. Steve's not on Instagram, but he is on Twitter, the worst possible thing in our existence. He is Command.
You already said that YouTube is the worst. You can't have
okay.
This,
no, YouTube, as I said, is second worst. I would
swap that around personally.
Yeah,
I
think either way, far worse. Either way, Steve is on the Twitter at Command_Throw, correct?
That's correct.
All right. I think that's about it for this week. I don't know if there's anything else. This might be our last week doing the tele one. We'll see in 2 weeks. I probably could have called up Steve and been like, can I just come over and record? And we would have been okay. But I just didn't feel like driving at this point of the day.
I mean, if it makes any difference, I much prefer the telecommunication version.
I do, but I think we have better banter when we're across from each other.
I don't think there's a difference.
I feel there is. I feel I miss the sexual tension, in all honesty. Until next cast.
This is Curl Marx signing off, Swoletariat.
Game Classy.